Hey gang, are you new to this podcast? If you subscribed on Spotify or Stitcher and realize that you can only access the 20 most recent shows on these platforms, do you want to binge on How Did I Get Here? Well, check out our archives that are available for free. Simply go to howdidigethere.podbean.com. Look on the right-hand column and our entire catalog is easily accessible by month and year. Go hear great conversations with artists like Sweet Spirit, Elizabeth McQueen, Zeely, The Wind and the Wave, Quiet Company, and many, many more. That's howdidigethere.podbean.com. Get in there. Let's get down.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here? And now here is your host.
Right, hello, I'm Johnny, I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I hope you guys all had a great weekend. All of you fathers, happy belated Father's Day. Hope you guys, you know, congratulations, man, raising kids in this crazy world. Congratulations to you. You're doing the work, baby. All you dads out there that are involved and are present, are showing up for the raising of a child. Congratulations to you. I wished my dad happy Father's Day. He was very busy with his other children. Anyway, I got a great show for you guys today. Julia Milanta is here. She's got a brand new record coming out this Friday, June 22nd, called Conversation with the Ghost. You can go to juliamilanta.com to find out how to get involved. There's some vinyl available, she said. Very limited amount of vinyl, so try and get in on that if you're a vinyl person. She's celebrating this Saturday, June 23rd, with a record release show at 1 to 1 Bar. So get on out there and find out. Go to juliamilanta.com. We have a great conversation. The record was co-produced with one of my best friends, Gabe Rhodes. And it's absolutely fantastic. Conversation with the Ghost has Donnie Wynn, Glenn Fukunaga, Julia, of course. They cut the tracks live. Julia, Donnie Wynn on drums, and Glenn Fukunaga on bass. They cut it with, you know, doing it live. Like feeling the vibe. And you can really feel it on the record. It's gorgeous. It's gorgeous. With special guests David Polkingham, Kimmy Rhodes. Great people playing on there. Of course, Gabe Rhodes played all over it. All over it. Did a great job. Always such a great record, man. Mixed by the great Stuart Sullivan. Stuart Sullivan over at Wire Recording. Anyway, great record. Conversation with the Ghost. Go to juliamilanta.com to find out what's going on. See her this Saturday, June 23rd at 1 to 1 Bar. We'll be having a great conversation in just a second. First, let me tell you, I had a pretty great weekend. It was really long. I mean, it was kind of like, it was a long series of days. Like, it started Wednesday night. I moderated this panel with all these managers, like Phoenix's manager, Ben Queller's manager, Eric Tesmer and Jamie Harris's manager. My friend George Corey. Amazing, amazing panel. It was great. The place was packed. I know I talked about it on Friday's show some. But then Thursday I went to Waco, played with Skyrocket. Gorgeous gig. Like out by the show was set. We were down by the river and it was in this amphitheater. It just went up this big hill. People were all watching us and getting involved. There were families, there was old people, there was children. I gave a child some earplugs because he told me it was too, he came up and told me it was too loud. It's too loud for him. He was a little guy, probably like 3 or 4 or something. So I gave him some foam earplugs. He put them in, his mom put them in for him. And then he gave me the thumbs up and that was a good feeling. Anyway, that show was great. It was a great time. I was driving home that night and there was wood all over I-35 and it was unavoidable. You know, there's traffic everywhere. You can't swerve. Sometimes you got to just go over what's on the road. And when I did, it hit whatever that splash guard thing that guards your engine underneath your car, and it broke it. And so my car's been in the shop all weekend since then. Friday night, Skyrocket played at this new place called Clearport ATX on 6th Street. It was our first foray down to 6th Street since about 2002 or 3 when we played at the Hard Rock Cafe. And that was it. We have not gone to 6th Street since. And so anyway, we had a great show. A lot of people showed up. There was a lot of enthusiasm. It was a nice warm night under the stars, and we had a really fun show. Saturday, headed down to Houston, played at Fitzgerald's. Once again, just a packed house. crazy crowd. It's always so fun to play at Fitzgerald's. I can't believe I've been playing there. My first gig there was July 13th, 1988. I've been playing at Fitzgerald's for 30 years. And still to this day, I don't know if that's really cool or just really sad. But I am happy to be doing it, and it's always great to get down there, hang out a little bit with Sarah Fitzgerald, talk a little bit about what's been going on the last 30 years, and how much fun it is to have Skyrocket get to play that place where Trish and Darren and I have been playing for 30 years, man. It's a lot of fun to play there. So I guess it's not sad. It's good. It's a good thing. I came back Sunday and had a podcast with this band, Chill Russell, and I was pretty tired. I'm still kind of suffering from this terrible sinus thing that I've had now going on, I guess, like a month now. It's starting to really kind of drive me crazy, and I've been working a lot, and so I've been feeling a little run down. So hopefully this week I'll bounce back. Hey guys, I don't know what you're doing on Wednesday, but I'm playing my first show with a band in over a year here in Austin. It's my first show with a band in over a year, period. I have Scrappy Judd Newcomb playing with me, got John Chipman, got my godson Sean Crooks, I got Jane Ellen Bryant and Jamie Harris singing backup. It takes place this Wednesday, June 20th at 1 to 1 Bar. We play at 7 p.m. This is the band that played on my new EP, and I'm really excited to get out and play with them. I don't know how much we'll get to play together because everyone's very, very busy, and the EP doesn't come out until September, and who knows where everyone will be in September. Everyone's very busy, so hopefully we'll get to do some more shows. But tomorrow night, Wednesday, June 20th, at 1 to 1 Bar at 7 p.m. is the only time we get to do it. Then I'll be very grateful. So come on out and check it out. Witness the show. I'm very excited to debut some of these songs you've never heard. I'm excited to play some old songs of mine. I'm excited to play with all of these people. So come on out and listen once again. Julia Milanta's Conversation with the Ghost comes out this Friday, June 22nd. Co-produced with one of my very best friends, Gabe Rhodes, and Julia did a great job. They did a great job on this record. Everyone played their asses off. It's gorgeous. It sounds fantastic. Get out there and check it out. Go to juliamilanta.com and see her this Saturday, June 23rd at 1 to 1 Bar here in Austin, Texas. You can also see her June 29th if you live in Houston at the Mucky Duck. Go to juliamilanta.com for all of your Julia Milanta needs. And please enjoy my conversation with my friend, Julia Milanta. Let's get down.
I ran away with my thoughts. Where we were going, I forgot. Along the way, far away, we got lost, but didn't seem to care. Changed my mind, left it all behind, time after time. No rhyme, no reason, just things I've done. I play with life nervously like a gun.
You just got back, when, a couple days ago from Italy, Germany, and Holland?
And Belgium.
And Belgium.
Mm-hmm.
How was it?
It was great.
You toured?
Yes, I had a really good tour. It was, I had a good turnout. Shows were great. Crowds loved me. Everyone loved me so much. That's true. they said they had a really good time, and I did, and everything was very smooth. Everything went smoothly, which is almost impossible when you're on the road.
Yeah.
But it did. Aside from the fact that I came back to two speeding tickets in the Netherlands.
Oh, you got speeding tickets in the Netherlands?
Yes.
How do you get those?
By speeding.
Yeah, I guess so.
but they're very strict. They're very strict, and you don't. There's like an automized control, speeding control that you don't see. You know, it's not like you see the machine and you slow down. So you have to constantly be within the limits. And if you pass it just by 5 kilometers per hour, bam.
Yeah.
So I have 250 euros.
Damn. That's a lot.
I know.
Did you play by yourself out there? Do you have people that you play with there?
I played a couple of shows with a friend of mine. He's a percussionist from Holland. And then Gabriel Rhodes, who was on tour with Kimmy Rhodes in the UK, came and met me for a few shows.
Did you and Gabriel produce this record together, or did Gabriel produce this record?
We produced it together.
Together?
Yes.
Conversation with a Ghost. 37 minutes where you explore collectively unconscious realms.
Oh, yeah.
And introduce.
Sounds complicated.
Well, it does sound complicated, but luckily we have some time and you can explain it.
Well,
is it it's a concept record?
It kind of is. Not because I didn't decide it beforehand. It
right.
just happened.
Yeah.
When I looked at the songs that I chose, I started, you know, I wrote them all down and write a couple of words next to each title and realized that in every single one of these songs, someone has lost something or someone. You know, it's a record about loss, whether it's loss of innocence, loss of perspective, loss of a beloved one, loss of a friend, loss of mental sanity. You know, there's and it's throughout the whole record. And so, therefore, Conversation with the Ghost is like, you know, all these characters in these songs are having a conversation with the ghost of their loss.
Yeah.
If it makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Did you have a couple of years of profound loss?
Yes, I did. And in fact, the record is kind of dedicated to George Reeves.
Yeah. Who's our friend who yes. did your last record.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, it was really hard. It was kind of heartbreaking because the last conversation that I had with George last May, he said to me, well, Julie, I don't think I have enough time or energy to help you with this record. I mean, co-producing it or producing it, but I would love to help you in any way. So how about next time you come back with the guitar and you play me some songs and we start talking about it? And I didn't have time to do that. That wasn't the next time. So when I went into the studio and started recording it, and we recorded live with Donnie Wynn and Glenn Fukunaga, just the three of us, 3 days in the studio. It was really beautiful and really intense. And at the end of that session, I started crying like I don't know. I was so emotional and also so sad because, you know, I was missing George so much.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It seems like at the end of his thing, he was really trying to get, I just made this EP with Scrappy. I had talked to him a year before I started this with Scrappy. I had talked to George about doing some of these songs with him and even started kind of like, he was like, well, I can do this stuff, but I was like, well, I can get someone to engineer. And then it kind of, you know, it's such a sad, sad loss.
Yes.
He was a great person, a great beacon of light in everyone's life that he entered.
Yes.
Sad loss.
Yes.
So what else did you lose? Let's make a list of loss.
All right.
A loss list.
Well,
I don't mean to laugh. What a morbid person I am. I'm sorry.
Let's make a list of loss and then jump in the river.
I don't think there's any question of how much I've publicly expressed my love and respect for George. So
yeah,
that horrible joke is just a tension breaker.
No, it's fine. and joking is good.
Yeah,
it's all what
I've
we
got.
Have.
It's all I've got.
Exactly. Yeah. God bless you. Well, you know, I was just talking with a friend about my life is, and I don't want this to sound like I'm having a pity party. I'm saying it in a pretty neutral way, as a matter of fact, that my life is always, there's always a little bit of a loss constantly, because when I'm in the States,
right,
there's a part of me that's missing.
Yeah.
I miss my all-time friends. I miss tomatoes that taste like tomatoes, you know,
right.
My family.
Yeah.
And then when I'm there, I miss my community here. I miss opportunities. I miss, you know, the things that I love about Austin.
You miss my 700th podcast.
Yes, exactly. There's always, you know, so leading this life, then I'm lucky. I'm fortunate to be able to do
it
this.
It is, but there is
But there's a price to pay.
Yeah, you can't do all the stuff you want to do without missing out on something somewhere else that's very far away. You can't just, it's not like it's Waco or something. You can just drive up and hang out with your mom for the afternoon and come back and play your gig.
Exactly. So that's like the number one thing in my list of loss. There's always something, you know. And also a bunch of friends that I lost in the last few years. I lost my father 9 years ago.
Sorry.
And it feels like, thanks. When I look back, it's like 9 years is a pretty long time, but it's not.
No, it's not.
It never goes away.
Nope. There's just a ways you learn how to live around those feelings.
Yeah.
And they hit you every once in a while.
Yeah.
And the rawness fades away.
Yeah.
But the pain is still there.
Yeah.
And the loss is still there.
And I don't mean to be dark or negative or, you know, I don't want to depress your listeners, but...
They're depressed already.
I think it's important to just face your ghosts and just be okay with it.
That's how you do it.
We, you know, every time you try to push away sadness or mourning or grief, it comes back and bite you in the ass even worse. You know, just be with it. Just,
I don't know how it is in Italy, but in American culture, man, like any kind of sadness or upcoming loss, like you put that away. Like, hey, put this guy. People don't die at home anymore.
Yeah.
Last guy I knew that died at home was my grandpa. And he was like, he was a doctor. And like, they were like, all right, man, well, you got to come in here because we got to do some more stuff. And he was like, no, I'm going to die. I'm going to go home. I'm not going to die here with a bunch of fucking machines.
Yeah.
And weirdos.
Yeah.
I'm going to go hang out with my dog, you know? Hang on a second. I'm going to make sure this doesn't turn back on.
Yeah, I think in this society that we live in, we do everything we can to push away the concept of aging and death and loss.
Yep.
And it's not working out. It's not.
No.
Because it's happening anyway. So just we need to learn. I need to learn how to be okay.
Yeah.
With it.
Yeah.
Which is why I made this record, you know, like I wanted to be okay with the concept of loss and find some light at the end of the tunnel and find some healing in that.
Right. Well, that's also as artists, it's almost kind of our job to do that, to work out what's going on in us, around us, in our music in some way, you know.
Yes.
There's a lot of that. The best example was David Bowie. Like nobody's really documented their death.
Mm-hmm.
With their music.
Yeah.
I mean, in the rock realm, you know, in our modern era, and that's pretty astounding. That's a pretty, I mean, that's the best thing you can do as an artist is just document the whole thing.
Yeah, it's intense.
Yeah, it's pretty intense. Yeah. So you recorded this record at Wire, or did you mix it? You recorded at Kimmy's place?
I recorded it at Kimmy's.
What's that studio called? Does it have a name?
Sunbird.
Sunbird?
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Yeah.
Sounds. I think that's the name of a of a sailboat.
Yeah?
Sunbird, yeah.
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 It was good. You know, this record was recorded entirely, completely live, 2-3 takes at most. I didn't recut any of my guitar parts, any of my vocals. It was just as is.
Oh, you sang that shit live?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Everything is done live. So it's
congratulations. That was
really
good.
With the, you know, the thing is my defects are going to be there no matter how many times I try.
Right, right.
But at least when you do it live like that, it's more real and it captures the moment. And so it was just, you know, Donnie Wynn that was not allowed to play cymbals. It was just toms and drum kicks. And then
seems like he would be into that though.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Yeah.
And then Glenn on upright bass. And me, for the first time, I'm not playing acoustic guitar on this record. And I was playing like funky old guitars that would hurt my hands.
Yeah, yeah.
And we kind of did it, you know, we did it on purpose. Like to, each one of us was slightly uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You know? And it was cool. And I was hurting. My hands were fucking hurting
at the end of the session. Did you guys, to make Donnie suffer, did you not let him get corn dogs from that gas station that he likes? He loves those corn dogs,
man. I know.
That's a funny thing to know about a guy. But I've done sessions out there, and it's like a whole, you know, there's nothing, it's nice to record out there. Mm-hmm. And Kimmy and Gabe are very open and welcoming, and you can kind of do whatever you want. You can take your shoes off. You can, they're really nice.
Yes.
Yeah. Makes it very comfortable out there.
Yes.
So, how, it's so funny because there's so many different ways to approach records. There's like pre-production where you go and rehearse with the band and you do everything to a T, like a Def Leppard record or something. And then there is something to be said about, hey, let's just do this all at once. And you didn't practice the songs. Donnie came up with stuff on the spot. Glenn came up on the spot.
Yes.
And you hired those guys because you know what they do.
Yeah.
So you don't have to direct people like that. I mean, yeah. Except for the cymbal thing.
Yeah.
But
it was pretty magical. And Gabriel was not playing. He was just sitting there as my external set of ears.
Yeah.
And we were just, you know, Gabe and I wrote charts and decided more or less what the feel would be and the form of the song. And then we just played those songs. And Donnie and Glenn had no idea what songs we were gonna play.
Right.
So it just happened then and there. And of course, with people like them, you can cut 13, 14 songs in 3 days, no problem.
Yeah.
You know?
You put 11, though, on the album, right?
12.
12, okay.
Yeah.
What happened to the other two?
They just didn't get in the car. They were left at the gas station.
You going to do something like a release a single here and there? Like,
maybe.
Do you do stuff like that?
Maybe. We'll see. There is a single for this record. Did you see the video? I have a video.
Shit, I didn't see the video. But the single, I saw the single on Spotify, which was what made me think, oh, then the album's not out. Of course it's not out. And then that's when I wrote you.
Yeah. So the single is Blinded by the Sun.
Right.
And there's a cool video that Barbara FG, you know Barbara, the bass player, French girl. She's delightful. She's wonderful.
Really?
Yeah. And she shot the video. She filmed it. And it's a cool video.
Is it you?
Or
is
me.
It is? Okay.
It's me. It's very simple, but kind of interesting. And if you watch it, make sure to watch it till the end, because there's a little thing after the credits.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is it like you guys all going like, Johnny's awesome?
Yes. That's exactly what happened.
So when you play, you're doing Wednesday, June 20th at Wero's. You're doing Saturday, June 23rd is the official release at 1:1.
Yes.
Here in Austin. And the record comes out on the 23rd as well?
22nd.
22nd. Okay. The 22nd is a Friday?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry.
And for the 23rd, the record release show,
yes.
I have a full band and some special guests.
Okay.
And there is a feature drink.
What? The Julia Melanta?
The Melanta.
Oh, what
is
it?
I kind of stole your idea because you had a featured drink at the Townsend.
Oh, yeah.
How did I get here?
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, I'm going to do that too. So
I had a featured drink a long time ago at this place called Helios in Houston called the Flaming Gaudi. And it caught, I didn't even know what was in it. It was kind of gross. But it was on fire when you got it. So what's the drink? Tell me about the Melanta.
Well, the base is Prosecco.
Prosecco, okay.
And then there are a couple of special ingredients that I'm not
really divulging.
No, not yet.
Not till the people get there and start drinking them.
And there will be a Melanta Zero, which is the alcohol-free version.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah,
because there's people that don't drink.
Yeah.
And you don't always want Topo Chico. That's what I feel bad for people that don't drink. I'm like, yeah, that Topo Chico must get old. It's just bubbly water, guys.
Yeah. So now they can drink the Melanta Zero.
Yeah, Melanta Zero. tell me about you still doing cooking with Julia?
I do.
Yeah.
Every now and again. Yeah. I do some classes here and there. I just got hired this morning to do a class.
A private class?
Yeah.
Okay. So people can hire you and you'll just come in and teach them a bunch of Italian stuff?
Yes.
Okay. That sounds great.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go.
Okay.
I mean, I know it's not mine, but they don't mind if you have a friend, do you?
No, but we can always get together, Johnny.
Oh, yeah.
And cook.
You did make that raspberry thing that was real thin that time that I ate all of it. I ate all of it that was left at Gabe's house. I think it was raspberry. Some kind of thing. It was Italian. It was a pastry. I ate it all.
Huh. I can't remember.
When you go cook, like what happens?
Well, so the day starts off with me going to the grocery store and buying food. And then I show up at your place with a bunch of groceries and I start cooking throughout the afternoon.
They choose what you're going to make or you're like...
Yeah, we usually... Sometimes they want my input, but we agree on the menu beforehand. So... And then I start cooking. Usually people like to hang out with me in the kitchen and ask me a million questions.
Well, that's good because it's important because here's the thing is we're in America. You're Italian from Italy, like an actual Italian person. And people are like, oh, yeah, let's get Julia to make Italian food. And like some people, when they think of Italian food, that may not know that there's all these regions and different kinds of things. There's just completely different kinds of food. They just think of like Olive Garden. Like,
yeah.
Oh yeah. Let's get. Hey, can you teach me how to make that Olive Garden soup or something?
Yeah.
So what region are you from?
I'm from Tuscany.
Okay.
From Florence.
That's a very popular food.
Yes.
The Tuscan food. What is the main characteristic of that?
Well, it's the main characteristic, it's pretty, well, in Tuscany, we're really big on how would you call it, like tripe and, and we eat some weird stuff, like, I don't know how to call them in English, like.
Say it in Italian.
Well, tripa, which is tripe.
Tripe, yeah.
And then lampredotto, which is kind of the lining of the stomach of the cow.
Mm-hmm.
And then nerves, tongue. The tongue of the cow.
This is a peasant kind of food.
Yes.
It's funny because I was just, Anthony Bourdain passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I loved, obviously, everybody. I've never seen a public person since like Tom Petty or something. Like, it's hard to imagine that a chef, really, everyone in the world, just like, and that guy that's like an admittedly bad chef. Like, oh, I was terrible. So he talked about how that kind of food is indigenous to... like the people that live there, that's the stuff that they have, and
right.
They eat the whole cow. That's why there's tongue.
Right.
That's because they don't have all these cows like we do, and we only eat this one cut. They eat the whole thing.
Yeah.
And now, what was once like peasant and street food is now really like when you go to these fancy places. Now it's like pork belly and all this kind of stuff. Yeah.
Well, so there's a lot of poor. Dishes that used to be poor. Like, for instance, when you go to some restaurants here, there's this fish soup called Cioppino.
Uh-huh.
You might have seen it. The actual name is Cacciucco.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know why they changed it, but it doesn't matter. But Cacciucco is a fish soup. My grandmother from Livorno used to make it, and it was made with fish bones, basically. Like, we don't have money.
Yeah, let's boil these bones.
Exactly. to put some bread with garlic and some tomato. At least the fish bones will give some flavor to the bread, which is the only thing we have, you know? So there's a bunch of stuff like that.
Well, that stuff ends up being so good because it's also, you find a way to make it good. You know what I mean?
As long as you have the good ingredients, like tomatoes that really taste like tomatoes and the good bread.
How close can someone get, like say someone lives in Austin, where would you get a tomato?
I guess farmers markets are usually the best.
That's the best, yeah.
Yeah, local stuff.
Yeah, that's how it is. That's how it is in Tuscany?
Yeah.
Yeah. So is that basically when you go do the cooking with Julia, you'll do like a Tuscan meal?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
I do, you know, bruschetta, but it's bruschetta, and ragu, which is the bolognese sauce.
Yeah, yeah.
Or you know, I make homemade pasta, like noodles and ravioli.
I've had food that you've cooked, and it's always really good.
Yeah, but it's been a while. You need to come over.
I need to come over,
and I'll feed you.
Okay, I need to eat some more.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about conversation with the ghost, because you also had a lot of extra people. Like you cut those things just as a trio.
Yes.
As a power trio,
mm-hmm.
with a cymbalist, Donnie Wynn, a stand-up bass, Glenn Fukunaga. And it's interesting, because now at this point, those guys, that's kind of like, that's Gabe's wrecking crew.
Yeah.
And Kimmy's wrecking crew. There's a lot of people, like, yeah. You call Donnie and Glenn.
They practically live up there.
Yeah.
Donnie has a drum set in the room.
Yeah, it's probably helps.
Kind of nailed to the floor. You know?
It's probably better. So then you did the overdubs over there too?
Yes, most of them. Some of them, like, for instance, my dream came true, and on this record, I have Mark Rebo.
Yeah, I saw that. That's who's amazing.
Tom Waits' guitar player, and he's my favorite guitar player in the world.
Yeah.
Actually.
Just Dropbox some tracks?
I did. I just, sent him a couple of tracks, and he recorded it, and he sent back a bunch of awesomeness. So... Yeah, and Joel Guzman, he recorded it as his studio. I just sent him the track. But the rest of the overdubs are, we're
Gabe done. Played a lot on it. David Polkingham.
Gabe played a lot of different instruments.
Yeah, that's what
not very much guitar.
Right.
He plays the saw.
Yeah.
He plays some piano, baritone guitar. Can't remember right now, but yeah. And then Polkingham came and did some nylon string, and he also sings on a song, I think. John Mills on clarinet and sax.
Some cool sax on there.
Yeah.
Hunting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and Kimmy sang on it.
And Kimmy, on a couple of
songs.
She's
a great backup singer.
She is.
She's a great singer, period. A great songwriter, but also like a secret weapon.
Yeah.
Backing vocalist in the
studio. She comes up with things that are pretty unexpected. It's not like the usual background. Like she's not just harmonizing what you do. We come up with cool stuff, like really ghosty.
Yeah.
Ghostly.
Haunting.
Yeah.
Well, that's what you need in conversations with a ghost. You need a lady that's singing ghostly.
Yes.
Ghostly.
Ghostly.
I was going to ask you, are you going back to Europe to tour?
No, I just got back.
That was it.
Well,
so you put the record out there?
Not yet. It was it's a long story. There was a little bit of a miss scheduling. So I didn't have the record when I was touring.
Oh.
But
the single was out.
The single was out, and I will probably go back in October if everything works out.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how much do you play there? You go there twice. I mean, it seems like you're there half the time.
I'm not. It looks like it,
looks
but I'm
like
not.
It. Feels like it.
I'm there a couple of times a year, or once every 6 to 8 months.
Okay.
But I'm there for, a month at a time. So I'm mostly here, actually. I'm in Europe like 2-3 months out of a year.
Okay. And who mixed it, the record?
Stuart.
He did. So you did go to Wire at some point.
Stuart Sullivan. Yeah, he did an amazing job. He's so good.
He's a nice man. He hung out at Gabe's session.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You and me were just hanging out.
Yeah.
Like groupies.
Yeah.
Hey, man, you want some water? What was the name of that piano guy that was playing there? That guy was great.
Oh,
the Eagles.
Yeah. Yeah. Mike Thompson.
Mike Thompson. Man, that guy was incredible.
Oh,
once again, it was Donnie and Glenn.
Mm-hmm.
Glenn, man, I wonder how many records he's played on.
Ugh.
And Donnie. They probably don't know. I bet there's records they're like, oh yeah, I did that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you play on people's records? Do you do stuff? Do you try?
I have. I've played on Gabe's record.
Yeah.
I've played on David Polkingham's record. Here and there people call me. I'm not known as a
session
person. Also, I'm not a virtuoso guitar player.
No, but
I sing.
I'm not a virtuoso person either. But like, there's a thing sometimes that you do. There's a feel that you have. Like, oh, this will work on everything we're doing today.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I sing. I'm pretty good at background vocals.
Yeah.
Even though I rarely do it, but but I'm pretty good at that. So that's hire good. Me.
Okay. Me?
No, or in like, general.
Oh, in general. You're yelling, the world. At, you're yelling at the audience.
Yeah.
You want to talk about the End Us series? That's something that you've come up with that has been really successful. I was going through the numbers of all of the trees saved, all of the water gallons.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome.
It is. It is awesome. And it's been really good. So End Us means that a bunch of artists get together and they play their, they each play one of their songs and a song by the artist that we were giving a tribute to.
Right.
So it's Tom Petty and us, Neil Young and us. The last one was David Bowie and
David
us.
David Bowie and us. There was what's that guy's name?
Leonard Cohen
and us.
Yeah. You've done...
I did like three. I did like Neil Young.
Oh, you did...
Neil and us. Tom Petty and us.
Yeah.
David Bowie and us.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, hey, who should we do this thing? And then I realized, like, I'm like, the Cars. Nobody ever does anything in this town that I want them to do.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I mean, Tom Petty's my you know, one of my favorites. Bowie's one of my favorites. Neil Young's one of my favorites. But no one's going to be like, hey, man, we're doing The Cure. I would freak out if someone did something like that.
Well, we might.
Maybe we need to.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, if you did The Cure.
Yeah.
Got to invite me for that. I'd even put the lipstick on and everything.
Okay.
And I want to do Fascination Street.
All right.
Anyway. you're playing June 29th at Mucky Duck in Houston. Do you play down there a lot at Mucky Duck?
I have a couple of times.
Yeah.
Rusty's the sweetest man on earth.
Yeah.
And he wants to help me, you know, help me build a crowd. And so it's good. I like it. It's a great venue.
It is a great venue. It's funny because everything's coming up new around it. It's like one of those places, almost like Broken Spoke. Like there's this like little tiny place that has this like antiquated feel to it at this point.
Yeah, true.
How long has that place been open? Long time. It's been, I mean, it's like the 80s.
I wasn't here.
When I lived there, I didn't go there because I thought it was an old people place. When I was young, I was so like, it's old people stuff. Now I'm like almost 50. Sometimes I do go like, I'm not going to do that. That's old people stuff. And I'm like, man, I'm like older than everyone there.
You're not. You look great.
Thank you. So do you for someone that's jet lagged.
Oh, yeah.
That's been trying. Were you going to go? Aren't you guys going to go to some exotic place pretty soon? Are you allowed to talk about it publicly?
Yeah, sure.
You don't want to talk about it? You don't want to brag?
I don't.
I'm going in a private plane to the Bahamas.
You are?
And back.
Oh, wow.
They're also bringing us back. But it's only for a couple of days. It's to play a gig and then have one day
with Skyrocket?
Yeah.
That's super cool.
Yeah.
On a private plane?
On a private plane. Oh. Rich people are crazy.
Yeah. I don't know. I've never been one.
I've never like that level of like, oh yeah, I'm having my wedding in the Bahamas and I'm gonna rent this whole thing and then I'm gonna hire this band, but oh man, all my friends are going to need to get there. I'll just get a plane. Like, you must be pretty rich.
Yeah.
They're pretty regular people, too.
They come
to our shows. I'm like, hey, how's it going?
Yeah.
Anyway.
There are.
So you don't want to. Is it a beach place?
It is. It is.
Is it? Are you going before the 21st? Oh, no, you're going after.
I'm going after
the 23rd. Yeah. Okay, so it will be officially summer.
Yeah, it's a little vacation.
Do you have a new bathing suit?
I do. That I bought in Italy. It's blue.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's another question I have about summer stuff. Do you focus on a summer playlist? Like, do you have a summer jam? Is that something that Italian people do? Or is that just an American sensation? Like, you get a song. It's like the song of the summer.
There's always a song of
this is it.
And you know what?
What?
I came here, you know, a few years ago, and I was in this songwriter group with Miles Zuniga and Tony Scalzo.
Yeah. Those guys wrote a summer jam.
And Jesus. They did, you know.
They wrote like a legit
the
summer
way.
Jam. Yeah.
And so, but I didn't know at the time.
Right.
And someone said, no, but they are the guy, you know, Fastball, they wrote The Way. And I was like, it sounds familiar. So I went and I went and listened to it on YouTube, and I was like, fuck. I was in college and I was studying for my summer exams, listening to Fastball the way.
Yeah.
And it brought me back, you know. And so, yes, the answer is yes, we do have summer hits.
Yeah. I make a whole playlist on Spotify with my cousin.
Cool.
Yeah. When I go to a pool party or something, I'll be like, hey, I got it.
There's always the Beach Boys at some point.
There is some, yeah. We go more of a it's very pop. Like, okay. you might be like, are you kidding me? That's what you listen to when you're in your bathing suit. But it makes sense to me. It should be popular.
Okay.
The music of the summer should be like the movies of the summer. Mm-hmm. They should be very popular. Like popcorn movies, popcorn music. Right. It's okay.
I usually listen to Stravinsky in my bathing suit. No, I'm kidding.
That's pretty heavy.
No, I'm kidding. I don't.
Have you, is there anything that you listen to? Like, how do you listen to music? That's always an interesting thing.
Oh, now I got the fiance.
You guys got engaged?
With my record player.
Oh, I thought you meant now I've got a fiance. I'm like, no one told me anything. Okay.
No, I decided that it was about time. I had a little money.
Okay.
And I went to this awesome store on Congress and I bought the most amazing record player.
Oh, cool.
I have purple speakers.
Matching your pants, shoes, and glasses.
And glasses, yes. Everything has to match. I'm Italian. I can't help it. I have to match everything. But so I have a record player. So now I listen to vinyls and I'm so happy. And I call it the fiance because I'm really.
You're going to marry it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Let me ask you this, though. I mean, do you get new music on vinyl too? Or
you're just kinda like... Not so much because sometimes it's a little expensive.
Sometimes they're like $40.
Yes. And it's a little too much.
And it's weird. Isn't this weird? It messes with my mind that people are like, oh no, I won't spend 99 cents on a song, but I'll spend $40 on 10. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
So it's so odd.
Yeah. But I usually, you know, I go to end of a year or to record sales and find, you know, obscure records for $5 and I'm happy, you know. But I'm guilty as the rest of us. When I want to listen to something new, I go and I listen to it online.
Yeah, well, that's...
But, you know...
Well, that's not like a criminal act.
No,
it's
not.
It's how you do it.
It's just Spotify has made it harder for everyone to make money. But something really cool happened to me in Italy.
Well, Spotify hasn't made it harder for everyone to make money. You know who made it harder to make money? The recording industry made it harder to make money. Because they had these CDs, and that format was so much bigger. Like, there was so much wasted space that people were like, shit, man, people are putting 12 songs on here. Charging $12.
Yeah.
Let's put 18 songs on there, man. Yeah. Charge $18. Let's do that. And then that's with shitty songs. And then Napster found a way to rip the one good song.
Right.
And then start sharing. And then that was it. It was their own fault.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, something really cool happened to me in Italy. I was playing this show in Turin in the north. And these guys came to me and they're like, we don't even know or remember how, but we bumped into your version of Rock and Roll Suicide on Spotify. I made a version in Italian of Rock and Roll Suicide.
Bowie?
As on my previous record. And they're like, and we fell in love with it. And so we started listening to your stuff on Spotify. And then we went to your website. We saw that you were here and we came to see you. And we want to buy your CD and contribute to your fundraiser campaign because we want to pay for your music. So that's cool. You know, people can discover you on Spotify. And it's fine if they want to listen for free. It's even better if at some point they decide to drop $10 or $20 on you to help you move forward and keep doing what you do, you know?
Yeah, or come to a show.
Or come to a show.
That pays for stuff too. I mean, to me, it still always comes back to doing a show. I've never made a lot of money off of record sales.
Right.
I've really made my money off of going to a place, playing a show, and getting paid afterwards.
Yes.
I've had deals where I got money up front, but it wasn't real. I had to pay it back. Someone had to pay it back, and then
right.
But I think it's good to have. I mean, I think it's good as a fan. Like when I got on Spotify, I lost days.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was just trying to think of everything I've ever liked, and I could find it, and I was freaking out. And at that point, like, they didn't have Prince or the Beatles, But I mean, I've listened to them enough. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But anyway, I do like it, and I don't like what happened, but there's no
right.
What am I going to yell and scream?
We can if you want. It's not going to change
boring.
Anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, I mean, I enjoy it as a fan. I imagine other fans enjoy it, and I imagine they get together. I mean, they get, you know,
yeah,
they like music enough, they go out and see it.
Yeah. That would be the way to go.
You're going
to
go on the road, too. I saw you're going to be in Colorado.
Yeah.
A lot.
New Mexico and Colorado at the end of August.
Yeah.
And then I will be in the Northeast in September.
Okay.
Like New York, Boston, and Philadelphia, and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Do you go up there? Like, do you do the New Mexico, Colorado a lot?
I've done it last year.
Yeah?
And it worked out pretty nicely, so I'm going back.
That's fun.
I love New Mexico and Colorado. They're so beautiful.
Me too. Also, like, when it's 105 here, it is not in Colorado, my friend.
Right.
It's so nice there.
Yeah.
The Northeast, you've done that before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A couple of times.
How are you doing this? By yourself? You're just getting in your car and going?
I might just fly to New York.
Because you can train around there.
Yeah. Because, you know, driving to New York is a good, 25 hours?
Also, like, once you're in New York with a car,
yeah,
it sucks.
Yeah, you want to die. Yeah, I know.
Because you have to drive places, then you've got to figure out how you park.
Yeah.
And it's real different than regular life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I might just fly up there.
So there's no new music you can recommend to the people that you've heard, you've come across from your music listenings?
Oh.
From your albums? Oh. Any new vinyl you can recommend to anyone? Anything weird?
Well, I'm not listening to anything new. I just got myself Transformer, Lou Reed.
So great.
Oh, gosh, I love that record.
It's so great.
And Blaze Foley, you know?
I knew that name, and then I didn't really know who he was until I did a podcast with Gerf Morlix, who was real close to him and did a lot of stuff with him. And then they made this movie. Is that out yet? Do you know about that? It's a Blaze Foley movie, and Charlie Sexton plays like Towns Van Zandt or something.
Oh, cool. Yeah, no, I didn't know
that. I heard
it's
really good.
Let's go.
Ethan Hawke or something made it.
Right on.
I might just be saying things. I know Charlie Sexton's in it. I know there's a movie. The Ethan Hawke thing, totally. I might have just made that up. Or I might have heard it. I don't know. Is there anything I'm missing?
No.
It's nothing you want to lay on the people?
No, I just got back. I'm horribly jet lagged. I can't even remember my name. I see three Johnny Gaudis in front of me right now.
There are.
I'm happy. You know, I'm excited about this, and I hope people will come the 23rd to 1-1 to have a Melanta and
what
a
Melanta time is
Zero.
Your set?
7 p.m.
Okay, and who else is on the bill? Is it a special thing with people that you like on the bill, or you just got the slot?
No, I can't remember. I think there's I'm prepared.
Okay.
But I have my full band and special guests. So please come to my show, everyone.
Full band, special guests. Who's the special guest?
I have Noelle Hampton.
Oh yeah.
On background vocals.
I like her.
David Polkingham is gonna come and play some nylon string.
I
have Scotty McIntosh, who's playing horns.
I don't know him.
He's a jazz guy, Brazilian guy, even though he's Canadian, but he plays jazz.
Oh, he plays Brazilian jazz, but he's Canadian.
Okay. Yes. John Mills is out of town, so I called Scotty, who's a friend and a great player.
Yeah.
And so be cool.
Yeah, very cool.
Mm-hmm. And the Melanta Zero.
And the Melanta Zero, featuring Prosecco, but we don't know what else.
Some secret ingredients
And Prosecco is Italian champagne.
Yes.
For those that are sparkling wine.
Yes.
Italian style.
Yeah.
Does it come from a certain place?
Usually the north.
Okay.
The north of Italy.
Because like champagne, like now they're like, oh, it's not champagne unless it comes from this one place.
Right. No, it's
sparkling wine.
Right. No. It's different in Italy. I mean, you can make Prosecco pretty much anywhere, but mostly is in the north.
Do you ever make wine?
I haven't. It's I would like to, but it's a big production. You need, stuff.
Yeah.
Aside from grapes, of course.
have a friend that's a comedian that one time said, Italians freak me out, man. See, they make bread with their hands. They make wine with their feet. I never want to eat an Italian donut. It's pretty funny.
It is.
Yeah. I don't think that was even part of his act. I think he just said that one time when people were just standing around. It made me laugh so hard I couldn't stop.
That's hilarious. Yeah. Never thought about it.
So you've never made wine?
No.
Okay. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know?
No.
When you came to Texas, did you go like, hey, do you have a horse? Like to people? Because you figured like people. Because that's kind of the perception in Europe of Texas is like JR.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oil and horses and big hats and boots and guns.
I guess the show Dallas was very popular there, wasn't it?
Oh, it was.
Yeah. It was popular all over the world.
I was a little girl and JR and Swellen and
Bobby.
And
the Victoria Principal one.
Pamela. Or I don't know how to say it.
I told somebody this the other day, but I got into it after it was already off the air. I was in high school and it showed on this one channel every night. I started watching it. My dad started watching it with me. And then on that show, they call their dad Daddy. And I always thought that was so funny. I started calling my dad Daddy for like 6 months. It used to drive him nuts. We'd be at the grocery store and I'd be like, hey, Daddy, should I get a melon? And he'd be like, stop it. Stop calling me Daddy at the place. Because I was like 17. Anyway, Julia, your album Conversation with a Ghost is absolutely fantastic. And people should get out there and get it. They can go to juliamelanta.com and it drops on June 22nd.
Yes.
There's one single. What's it? I'm sorry, I didn't write it down.
Blinded by the Sun.
Available now on Spotify.
Yeah.
And also on iTunes.
Yeah.
You got 99 cents. You could spend it on Julia.
And there's a cool video too.
And there is a cool video, which is available at juliamelanta.com.
And YouTube.
YouTube and places like that. Let me ask you this. Do you have a Patreon or something? Because you were saying people can give you money.
Oh, there's a pledge page, you know, to pre-order the record. And, you know, I made vinyls.
Oh, really?
And this record sounds really good on vinyl.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, congratulations.
It's my first record on vinyl, so that's exciting.
That's very exciting.
And it's limited. I only have a limited amount of vinyl, so if you guys are interested, you should go to Pledge and...
Go to Pledge, get some vinyl. Yeah, put it on your fiancé.
You
can play it on your fiancé.
Oh, yeah.
Well, thank you for coming by.
Thank you for having me.
Everyone get out there and check her out. Julia Melanta live at 1-to-1 Bar, June 23rd.
7 p.m.
Julia Melanta, Conversation with a Ghost, her brand new album comes out Friday, June 22nd. Get out there and get it. She's celebrating with a special release show this Saturday, June 23rd at 1-to-1 Bar here in Austin, Texas. Go to juliamelanta.com for all of your Julia Melanta needs, all right? Get out there June 29th, Monkey Duck in Houston. She'll be playing there. Get out there. Check it out. Hey, while you're out there checking out Julia Melanta and all the different things, you can always subscribe to this podcast and follow us on Spotify, on Stitcher, on iTunes, on the Apple Podcast app, on the Android Podcast app, on Overcast, on TuneIn. Basically, anywhere where you find podcasts, you will find How Did I Get Here. You will get a new show every Tuesday and every Friday. All right? And hey, don't forget, man, my band's playing this Wednesday, June 20th. At 1-to-1 Bar, we play at 7 p.m. Come on out. Check it out. The band that played on the EP. EP comes out in September. Band plays this Wednesday, June 20th at 1-to-1 Bar here in Austin at 7 p.m. Come on out. Check it out. And don't forget, Saturday, June 23rd, Julia Melanta at 1-to-1 Bar, celebrating the release of her new album, Conversation with the Ghost, which comes out this Friday, June 22nd, produced by my friend Gabe Rhodes and Julia Melanta. Great, great record. Here's some more music from it. Have a great week, whatever it is you're doing. Let's get down, people.
White collar blind, any answers I can find.